Hello again, still with us here in studio are Gabby Gadovitz-Guida, political correspondent with Independent Newspapers, Ciarán O'Hearn, Labour TD for Dublin South West, Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin MEP for Dublin, and on the line is Ciarán Mullooly, Ireland MEP, Independent Ireland MEP for Midlands North West. Gabby, the Greens are gone, all but one. Roderick O'Gorman not minded to rejoin Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in government. The government not particularly kind to the record of the Green Party, the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael as government partners, not particularly kind to their achievements in government. Is the prospect for a kind of climate-centred focus of the next government pretty bleak?
Well, Roderick O'Gorman did say that he, you know, thinks he doesn't have a mandate to go into government because, of course, his party has gone from 12 TDs to just one. Him by himself. Look, the Greens would insist that they delivered a lot when they were in government. And in fairness, if you look at the programme for government, they put their own stamp on it. You know, they delivered the Climate Act and they really viewed that as being their big triumph. You know, they did insist. And there was a couple of rows in government. I don't know if they were ever close to pulling the plug, as they said that they would before the government kicked off in 2020. But certainly, you know, they did push their ground and the voters punished them for it. I was quite interesting, and this is a statistic I keep going back to, but Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael obviously transferred into one another, the Green Party transferred into them, but they did not transfer to the Green Party at all, which was quite interesting. So what happens now for climate? Of course, Labour and the Social Democrats say that they're very focused on climate, as do Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but you know, climate is the whole point of the being of the Green Party. And I think it was Daniel Murray of the Business Post that made the point during the week. Well, look, is there even a need for a Green Party now if climate is apparently the central plank of all of the policies of the parties in government?
Victims of their own success.
Well, perhaps so. But, you know, the Greens will insist that that's actually not the case. It's not a central plank. You know, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael will talk about, for example, Fine Gael will talk about economic stability. They'll talk about housing. They might talk about healthcare. Fianna Fáil might talk about justice. But it is quite a while down that list before they get to climate. Whereas climate and climate change is the whole reason for the Greens' sole existence. So what does that mean for a future programme for government, which may involve Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, independence? Look, the very unpopular carbon tax, I think, is going to stay. Despite it being quite a challenging one that really the government takes a hit on every single year because it goes up every single year. But I think there is a recognition within Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael that climate has to be somewhat central to the discussions. I don't know if it'll be at the heart of discussions. You know, things like justice, housing, health, will take economic stability, especially with Donald Trump in the White House, will take priority over that. So expect to see, I would say, a little bit less, or if not far less, talk about climate in the next couple of years.
Okay, looking at the and we will record again your objection to the methodology of the Friends of
but
the
Earth.
But
there is no methodology, Colin. That's the point.
I'm just saying,
there's no methodology.
Okay. And the Greens agree with that, yeah.
This concluded anyway that the parties of the last government didn't record a particularly favourable mark. I think Independent Ireland, Ciarán Mullooly, got 4% from the three esteemed academics, but they were particularly upset by the Independent Ireland commitment to end the net zero agenda. What does that mean?
Well, in the first instance, I would just make a general point about Independent Ireland's policy on this issue. I had a discussion with Hazel Chew on Virgin Media last Saturday morning when the election results were coming out to put this myth to bed again that we're entirely anti-green, or you know, we're not supporting any agenda in this area. Our issue has been, and as you know, Colin, from my campaigning over the years, has been the move and the speed and the lack of a just transition in all of this. That's been our issue with regard to this. We have campaigned for a slow and a fair just transition. So when you come to Europe and then you hear about, you know, as many as 10 of the countries here being off target on their climate change, and when you sit down beside a Polish MEP and he tells you that his local power station has another 15 years to go, you can see why it's difficult for me to stomach and for many and for hundreds of workers who've lost their jobs in the year. So Independent Ireland's policy has been that there must be a just transition and a fair opportunity for people to come up to speed. There's no point
in telling people
that they must change their life if you cannot give them a grant to change the boiler in the back kitchen. You know, you have to work with people and bring them with you. That has been our policy. Not that we are anti the Green policies. It's just been purely, and it's been proven, I think, in the election results that the public have had enough of it too.
But I suppose that
the cost of fuel.
Okay, but that I suppose demands a level of clarity, whether you are lobbying to keep that power station open for longer because jobs depend on it, or whether you are simply asking for a straight cash compensation package in order for people to install heat pumps. Which is it?
It's the just and fair transition over 22 years that the people of Germany were very fortunate to have, but the people of the Irish Midlands ended up with 22 months. So it's an opportunity for government to work with agencies and the communities for alternative employment. We take the people of the Midlands for fools. They knew the carbon emissions days were numbered. They came forward with proposals back in the early 1990s. To bring forward alternative proposals, but nobody was listening.
Okay, I do need to get also to our other panellists. Lynn Boylan, I mean, if the configuration of the next government looks, as we were discussing in the first part of the programme, as it is now, where does the climate stamp get put on it in the absence of a party in the heart of government whose main concern is climate?
Well, it's very concerning if it's Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and centre-right independence. That is a very huge concern for anybody who's interested in climate change. And I suppose a good example of where we're talking about, you know, talking to like-minded parties, like myself and the Soc Dems and People for Profit worked, and Alice Mary Higgins as an independent senator, worked really, really hard on the Climate Act because, you know, the Greens take credit for it. Yes, it was the first piece of legislation Minister Ryan brought. He tried to fast-track it through. He tried to have no pre-legislative scrutiny. It had no reference to a just transition. Through the cooperation of ourselves, Soc Dems, People for Profit, Alice Mary Higgins, we managed to have 40 hours of pre-legislative scrutiny. We had multiple amendments brought into it. We got just transition into that act. So this is an example of where, you know, like-minded parties can come together and really, really work effectively to actually deliver a positive change when it comes to climate. I don't see that happening in a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael independent government. I think it's really, really concerning for anyone who's interested in climate. And look, climate change is happening. It's on our doorstep. We can't ignore it.
Concerning Ciarán Óthairn, but not, it seems, concerning enough for people to say this is reason enough to go into government.
First of all, it is obviously concerning. This is the hottest year on record. We're going to be fined somewhere between 8 billion and 20 billion, depending on the report, if we don't meet our climate targets. So, but I mean, I suppose going into government, is anyone who goes into government with these two parties going to have the leverage to actually bring them to heel on these type of things?
Yeah, I suppose the Greens would argue they, you know, significantly reduced transport costs. There are more rural link public transport services around the country. The Nature Restoration Fund, they contributed to that, and they tried to do more in terms of the designation of the spending of that, but their coalition partners say they didn't, were stymied, the Greens argue, at the end of the life of the last government.
Yeah, absolutely. And credit where credit's due. Public transport investment has been the highest under the last government in the history of the state. It's been great to see that, albeit starting from a very low base. We would, you know, in our manifesto, we have said that we would like to invest 10 billion in public transport infrastructure projects over the next 5 years. That's the level of investment and ambition that is needed for this. There are people want climate action. Yeah. I suppose there have been some really good plans put in place, and it is the implementation of those plans now and the funding of those plans, the long-term strategic infrastructure being put in place for them that needs to happen now. You know, there's people turning up at bus stops in my constituency at 7 a.m. who want to take the bus to work, and two buses go past there and they're full, or the buses don't turn up. And then they go back to their cars.
Ciarán Mullooly, there was another figure of 6 billion just landed into the state coffers there. It's a time of unprecedented financial resources for the state. But I mean, Independent Ireland going into the next election, into the last election, was talking about 750 million to provide light rail around the country. It doesn't seem like the kind of figure that could do that when there's 3 billion price tag put on the Navan railway line alone. I mean, does I suppose the quality of your maths reflect the level of your concern?
Well, let's make a fair point firstly about Independent Ireland and the election. Before the election, we were running on a shoestring with volunteer staff, a bit like A&2, the only two parties who hadn't got a structure, hadn't got funding. I'm glad to say that after the fantastic showing by our four, and indeed by another four who were very, very close, if not more, on the 28 candidates, we're putting our structure together at party level. I sat at the launch of the manifesto in Athlone. There's no reference to a rail link for every county. There was a reference to the Western Rail Corridor, and the commitment is there to that, and to the three other significant lines. The hands were held up after it, Colm. I think by one or two of the party TDs. I think our focus is on what is feasible and viable, and we feel that both
such as a Lewis in every county.
All right. So I suppose if resources are now improved with four TDs, there may be a more comprehensive figure put on either rail infrastructure or what the price tag of a just transition might be if a research department is brought into being. Although there is always the Oireachtas Research Department who might do calculations and would be available even to independents.
And I think, if anything, after coming to a year when we've elected four TDs, 27 councillors and one MEP, we have lots of people on board now to do that work. And we will be there. Not to mention perhaps the candidate for the presidential election this year, Colm. How about that one for a start?
All right. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
The Late Debate with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.